Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. We have been on this series called Shaped for Significance. And here's our working definition for the word significance. I think significance is about creating a lasting legacy by who you are and the difference that you make in the lives of others. One more time. Significance is about creating a lasting legacy by who you are. It's your character, your identity, who you are on the inside, that you are a person of Christ, and by the difference that you make, by what you do on the outside, externally, through your time and talents and treasure, by what you do, that you make a difference in others. And today, we're going to address this. You are shaped for significance through blessing. Blessing. So may I take you to the Holy Scripture. But before we do that, let's say a prayer. Join me in a prayer. Lord God Almighty, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, would you bless us by opening our eyes, opening our ears, and opening our hearts and our minds, that we may be truly blessed by your Holy Spirit as we become person of Christ on the inside, as we engage in activities that reflect the mission of Jesus. To your glory, we pray all these things. Amen. Join me in receiving the word of the Lord from Genesis chapter 12. This is the patriarch Abraham. Before he was called Abraham, he was called Abram. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How many times did you hear the word bless, blessing, or blessed? I counted 5 times. Listen, I will bless you, verse 1, and verse 2, you will be a blessing. And verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. And then verse towards the end, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. 5 times. Whenever you come across a passage in the Bible and where there is repetition, pay attention. Where there is repetition, pay attention, because that is the key theme, key idea, and key teaching. And what is the key theme here? Blessing. And that's why you are shaped. This is the theme and the goal. You are shaped for significance through blessing. As you are blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ, as you bless others in the name of Jesus, you are being shaped. Continuous, present tense. You are being shaped for significance through blessing. What does it mean to be blessed? Well, let me tell you what it does not mean. I denounce and I speak against and I teach against the prosperity gospel. You know what that is? It is the teaching and the idea that when you follow Jesus, you will be wealthy and you will be healthy. It is like automatic slam dunk effect and the result. If you love Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if you serve Jesus, then you get to claim that you will become healthy, that you get to claim that you will become wealthy. So, therefore, they say things like, claim it, frame it, it's yours. Friends, if anyone teaches you anything like that, run away from them. They're not speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus. They're not speaking the truth from the Bible. It is a heresy, false teaching, and therefore there are false teachers of the Bible. They just want to say what the itching ears want to hear. It is true. It is true. We are encouraged, instructed by the Lord, to pray for health. We are encouraged, instructed by the Lord, to become wealthy so that we may become generous. What is so wrong about the prosperity theology gospel is it's all about me, 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 me. I am using God to make a name for myself. I am using God to build my own Tower of Babel. So it is okay for us to pray for health. Yes, God instructs us to do that. It is good for us to become wealthy as long as we don't hoard it, but we use it to the glory of glory of God and for the betterment of others around us. That's great. We know tons of people like that. And that's good. That's good. But we speak against, we denounce anyone who says this is the automatic slam dunk. Everyone, you should not be poor, you should not be sick. And that is just not the will of God. That is to say, it happens. What God wants is, even though I may be poor, He wants me to be blessed in Him. Even though I may be sick and unhealthy, God wants me to rejoice in who He is. So, blessing, I believe, ultimately means this. When Abram left, because God said, I'm going to bless you, you will be a blessing, everyone, all the peoples, all the nations in the world will be blessed through you. What he meant was, fast forward, in the book of Galatians, in the New Testament, the ultimate blessing from God the Father is that you become a child of God through the person of Jesus. When God blessed Abram, saying, you are going to be a blessing to all these people, what he meant was, whoever comes to my son Jesus Christ, I will declare that person my own child. He, she will become a child of the Most High God. And therefore, in the person of Jesus Christ, you receive the ultimate blessing. Number one, identity. Number two, security. And number three, destiny, identity. You are defined not by the world, not by you, not by your own values. You are defined by God Himself. The Lord says, I created you, I redeemed you, I sustain you, and all because I love you, and therefore you are built on, your identity is based on, grounded on, whose you are. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's identity. Security, another rich blessing. We all need security. I need it, you need it, secure. What will tomorrow bring? Will I be okay tomorrow? Will I have a roof over my head, food on the table, clothes for my children? We need this security. And in the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do not worry what you will eat, what you will wear, because I, your Father in heaven, will clothe you and will feed you and will take care of you. Identity, security, and destiny. You want to make a difference. I have a need, as you do. We want to make a difference. We are always asking the question, am I making any difference in my life? Is anything being shaped for significance because of what I am, who I am, and what I do? We have this existential need to make a difference. And in the person of Jesus Christ, your destiny has been defined by the Lord, which is this. You have meaning and purpose in the person of Christ. And as you live out whose you are, and as you embrace the security of God the Father that He gives you, then you get to live out your destiny, making significant differences in this world to the glory of God and for the blessing of others. Back to the text, therefore, Genesis 12. Five times, Bible reiterates, Abram, you will be blessed, you will be a blessing, everyone will be blessed through you. So write these words. God, blesses Abram by sending him out on a mission. God blesses Abram by sending him out on a mission. In the NIV translation, which we just read, it says, go from your country. Well, the actual word is get out. Leave, get out. Get out of your country. Leave your father's household. Leave everything behind and go, because I am sending you out on my mission. It is in the act of leaving and in the act of going, Abram is blessed by the Lord. The mission is a very important word or concept here. Did you know the Latin word for mission, its meaning is send out? Literally, that's what it means, to send out. Before mission, the word mission became like something to do. Literally, truthfully, what it meant first was send out. Abram was sent out on a mission. And in the act of being sent out, he was blessed. And as he was sent out, as he went, he became a blessing to everyone in his life. So the word missionaries, it really means sent out people. Those people who are sent out for a cause to make a difference in the lives of others. So let me just take one more minute to explain to you the doctrine or the theology of mission. You ready? God sends himself into his world, and now he sends you into your world. That is the doctrine and the theology of mission in one sentence, in one breath. God sends himself into his world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, created the world. And to redeem the world, God the Father sends God the Son into the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that he sent his one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the blessing. So God the Father sends God the Son. God the Son comes, takes the sins of the world upon himself on the cross, and he dies. He resurrects, making the tomb empty, and he ascends to God the Father through the throne of heaven. And then God the Son sends the Holy Spirit into his world, and the Holy Spirit comes. So see, what we have is God sends himself into his world. God is ascending God. This is how much, how committed he is to you and to me and to his world. He doesn't just stay in heaven above. He sent himself. And now, as the God Father sent Son and the Son sent the Holy Spirit, the triune God sends you and me into our world. We are being sent out. And that's why I really appreciate the term, the terminology, missionaries. Not people who go overseas only, but people who are here, everywhere, here, there, everywhere. Wherever God is sending you, you and I are called missionaries. Let me take you to John 17, because Jesus now, he is about to ascend to heaven, and he's going to leave behind his disciples, and he offers this really long prayer. In fact, this is the longest prayer recorded in the entire Bible, John 17. And what Jesus prays about, what he prays for, really is the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 12, what Abram did. Because Christ becomes the better Abram. Hear the word of the Lord in John 17. And as I read these verses, think how many times you hear the word sent. Are you ready? Let's go. Verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, that my disciples know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 8. They, the disciples of Christ, they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. Let's go to verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Here appears the doctrine and the theology of mission. As God the Father sent me, God the Son, now I am sending my disciples into the world. One more, verse 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Whose message? Through the message of my disciples, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Right there. Again, the theme, the idea, the doctrine of mission. And I just want you to focus on one thing. Jesus says, as you sent me, I am sending my disciples into the world so that the world may know that you and I are one and that they may come to know the love that you have for me. Love, it's all about the love. So here's my question. How can you and I, in the year 2022, bless those around us for their significance, for our significance? How can we make a difference by blessing them? I read a book 2 years ago called Bless by Dave Ferguson. The whole book was inspired by a doctoral thesis that he read. This is a really interesting story. Dave Ferguson read this doctoral thesis, and the thesis is about a study of two teams of missionaries that went to Thailand. The first group is called the Converters, and the second group, the Blessers. They were given one objective. For the next two years, the first group, called the Converters, their job was to convert people into Christianity. Simply, pardon the expression, go and save souls, convert people to Jesus, save their souls. And the second group was called Blessers, and their task was to bless anyone whom God sends their way with their time, talent, and treasure. Okay? Now, after 2 years, you know what happened after 2 years? Okay? The Converters, guess how many people they converted after investing 2 years? Only one. Guess how many people the second group, the Blessers, led to Jesus Christ? Not by focusing on saving souls, but by focusing on blessing people with their time, talents, and treasure. How many? 48. 1 to 48. This is a fascinating study. Fascinating. I was just so surprised. Okay? Well, I guess not anymore. So here's what Dave Ferguson found out from the thesis. Okay? The Blessers brought about tremendous amount of social good. They contributed to betterment of society, community life, and creation of social capital. In addition to people coming to know Jesus Christ, they made a significant difference in the community, in the region. Okay? So here's the bottom line. Dave Ferguson writes, the best way to accomplish Jesus' mission of helping people love each other and come to know the love of God is for his people to become blessers, not converters. Friends, how would you feel if I said your job is not to convert people, but to bless people? How do you feel about that? Your job is not to convert, save souls. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And he's doing his work, his job just fine. It is so freeing and so meaningful, and it rings true to us when we focus on blessing people, not converting them. So in his book, Bless, Dave Ferguson gives this acronym, Bless, B-L-E-S-S. So may I tell you what they stand for? So first letter B stands for begin with prayer. To bless your neighbors, Jesus invites you to begin with prayer. Okay, write that word. Let me go back to what Jesus said in John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus begins with prayer himself. He's praying already. He's praying ahead about for those people who will believe in him, who will come to Jesus Christ through the message of the disciples. And that's exactly it. We begin with prayer. My family and I, we moved to Edmonton in 2007 from Michigan. And when we came and we moved into this house, and whenever I leave my home, right next to the front door, there's a little picture, and here's what the picture is in a frame. Do you see it? You are now entering Mission Field. You are now entering the Mission Field. And that's because this frame is right there next to the door, because we really believed, my family and I, we really believed that God has sent us to the Mission Field. Those neighbors of ours, they are our, they are the recipients of our blessing. On our side of the street, there are 20 homes. Across the street, another 20 homes. There are 40 homes, 40 houses, 40 families on my street. And I happen to know just about everyone's name. Not everyone, but most of them. And that's because we engaged in blessing. So when we first came, you know, we begin with prayer. Now, the people who were living across the street and in one down, they moved away. The sale sign was up, and we began with prayer. We said, Lord, send new neighbors whom we get to bless. We began with prayer. And one day, they arrived. I'm going to call them John, Jane, and Julia. Okay? They came, and they were answered to our prayers. You might say, I don't know whom to pray for. I don't know. I don't have anyone in my life. Well, that's why you want to begin with prayer. Test this on me. Simply pray. Heavenly Father, show me the faces and the names of those people that you want me to pray for. And he will give you names and faces. You don't know anyone for whom to pray? Begin with prayer and ask, and it will be done. So that's letter B. The second letter is L. And L stands for listen. To bless your neighbors, Jesus invites you to listen. To listen. Again, we learned this from Jesus Christ himself. He was such a good listener. And you know why he was such a good listener? Because he knew all the right questions to ask. For example, he came to this well. It was a very hot day, and Jesus was very thirsty from the journey. And there was a woman, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus simply asks her, would you give me something to drink? And that was a really good question, because the woman said, you are a man and a Jewish man asking me, a woman, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water. You don't associate with us. See? And then the woman began to speak, because Jesus asked the right questions. He said, hey, do you want to drink this water? Because anyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst. Do you want this water? The woman said, yes, give me this water. Jesus says, go and bring your husband. Go and bring your husband. The woman says, I don't have any husband. Jesus says, you're right. You have had 5 husbands in the past, and the one with whom you're living now is not your husband either. See, Jesus asks right questions. And the woman responded. It's all about listening. When you ask right questions, you get to listen to their stories. Here's what David Osberger said. Listen, being heard is as close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. When people feel they're heard, when you listen to them, and when you listen to them well, because you ask the right questions, they feel what? They feel what? Loved. And this is what Jesus was saying. I'm going to send you into the world so that they may know that they are loved by my Father in heaven. So ask simple questions. What I ask is this. Hey, so I asked John, Jane, and Julia, tell me your story. Where are you from? How did you end up here? And then why this house? And they would tell me their story. And people love to share their stories about how they got here. Or another really good question, hey, what makes you glad and what makes you sad? As they respond to that question, you get to learn, you get to listen to who they are and what makes them tick, what makes them glad and what makes them sad. B, begin with prayer. L, listen. E stands for eat. To bless your neighbors, Jesus invites you to eat with them. And we have done an entire sermon message series on eating meal together, eating with Jesus, a couple of months ago. And here's what we found. In the Gospels, Jesus is either going to a place to eat, or at a party eating with his friends, or leaving from a meal. He's always going to a meal, or eating at dinner, or leaving the party. And that's because when you eat together, when Jesus ate with sinners, the prostitutes, the down and outers, they were so drawn to Jesus because they felt, not only did he listen, they felt Jesus Christ accepted them for who they are. Before they got their acts together, Jesus loved them and accepted them. Here's what Henry Nouwen wrote. When we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer our friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy, and closeness. When we say, help yourself, take some more, don't be shy, have another glass, we offer our guests not only our food and drink, but also ourselves. A spiritual bond grows, and we become food and drink for one another. I love the description. We become the very forms of hospitality to our friends. Now you are saying, hey, having people over, preparing a meal, that is a big, big task for me. In fact, I don't even like cooking. In fact, I don't even like people. In fact, I don't want... I get it. You don't have to have a full-on meal. It can be as small as a cup of tea or a plateful of cookies. What matters is you create a space and a time for this friendship to occur. For me, during the COVID, I made a project. Here's a picture of it. And I built this woodshed in my backyard during the COVID. And I put firewood there for the purpose of, not the only purpose, but I wanted to bring people over to our backyard because people didn't want to come to our homes during the COVID for the health reasons. I didn't want them in my house. They didn't want to come to my house. So one solution was we just sat outside in the backyard. I started a campfire. And so that's exactly what I did. We invited John, Jane, and Julia to our backyard. Say, hey, would you like to come sit by a fire and roast marshmallows? Did you know they never had that experience in their entire lives? They have never gone camping. They have never roasted marshmallows. They have never made s'mores. They asked, what's a s'more? Well, you roast marshmallows, and you take graham crackers, and you take Hershey's chocolate bar, and you melt those and make a sandwich. That's all it took. That's all it took. So we began with prayer. We listened to their stories, and we ate with them. And what's the next letter? S. S stands for serve. To bless your neighbor, Jesus invites you to serve. Again, we learn from Jesus Christ, who said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give myself as a ransom for many. Our God, our Lord, Jesus Christ, He came to serve you and me. To the point of death, He gave Himself up to serve us so that we may have life, so that we may be blessed, so that we may have identity, security, and destiny in Him. Now, you don't have to die for your neighbors. I'm not going to die for neighbors because we don't have to die for our neighbors. Jesus had to die for us, but for us, all it takes is this mindset. Let me serve you. Let me offer my time, my talents, and my treasure. For my neighbors, John, Jane, and Julia, this was their first home. They never owned a home before, so they were new to being owners of a home. Well, one day there was a knock on the door. They said, "Victor, we only have one set of keys, and we locked the keys inside the car, and we don't know how to get into the house. We're locked out. Could you help?" Because I told him, if you need anything, if I can help, just come on over, knock on the door. So they did. So all I had to do was find a window of the basement, open it up, and luckily one of them, of the four, all three were locked, one of them was unlocked. So I just simply crawled inside and opened the door. And they were so thrilled. And they never have... They didn't know how to take care of a lawn, so they'd come over and say, "Hey, what do you do about the weeds? Hey, what do you do about the fertilization? What do you do about watering?" It didn't take much on my part. All I did was become like Jesus. "Hey, if you have something in need, come on over. Maybe I can help." So I served. Our family served. Bless. Begin with prayer. L, listen. E, eat, and S, serve, and the last word is S, the letter is S, it stands for story. To bless your neighbors, Jesus invites you to share your story. Share your story. Just like the woman at the well. After Jesus blesses her, you know what she does? She goes back to the town, the village, and says to everyone, "Hey, come and see the man who blessed me." That's it. She didn't go to seminary. She didn't know the Bible. All she knew was about her story. She simply shared her story with the people in the village. And when you share your story, it's really simple. First part, your life before Jesus. Part two, how you met Jesus. Part three, your life since you met Jesus. Your life before Jesus, how you met to Jesus, and what has changed since meeting Jesus in your life. And some of you are saying already, "Hey, I don't know the time when I was not a Christian. I don't have this part one, part two, part three story." Friends, you have something better to say. You can simply share your story as to, "Hey, here's the difference that Jesus makes in my life. When I'm going through a hard time, here's what Jesus does. When I'm confused, here's how Jesus brings clarity. Hey, when I'm lost, here's how Jesus navigates me." Share your story, as in the difference Jesus makes in your life today. You don't have part one, part two, part three. Simply share part three, the difference Jesus is making in your life. Now, here at Mosaic House Church, we do this individually. We get to bless our neighbors. We get to bless our colleagues and co-workers. We get to bless our friends, right? And you have all three, your neighbors, your friends, and your co-workers. We get to share the love of Jesus Christ as we bless them. So we do that individually. We also do that collectively in our house churches. We come together. And we bless others together in our house churches, which I find even more effective because there is more love, because there's more people together doing it. And at the same time, we also do it collectively as in Alpha course. We offer this course called Alpha. Alpha is really designed for doing BLESS all in one evening for a course of 10 weeks. So it's really friendly and really organic and spontaneous. People get to pray, we get to listen, we get to eat, we get to serve, and we get to share our stories. One of them came to our Alpha course at the invitation of someone at Mosaic House Church. So this person was blessed by BLESS, and here's what she sent to me some time ago in a text. Are you ready? Let me share this. Good morning. Just thought I would send you an appreciation message. I want to thank you and for Mosaic House Church for all that you have done for me. I was reflecting back on my life, and I can truly say I am in a better place. Thank you for giving me the courage and the chance to make a voice. After my profession of faith, following the Alpha course, and telling my story, I felt like I was free from a part of me that held me back for so long, long time. Previously, I was scared that if I told my story, people would just look at me differently and pity me. I was also ashamed as to what happened in my life, so I just hid myself. From the age of 14 through 16, I resented God, wanted nothing to do with Him ever again. It wasn't until I stepped foot into Mosaic House Church that all the love I had for God came rushing back, and I felt like I had a community again. So, thank you. Friends, what did you hear? You know what I heard? We are being shaped for significance through blessing. We made a difference in this person's life, and you and I are making differences in the lives of others around us, neighbors, friends, and coworkers. So let's continue to give God the glory. Let people know that they are loved by God through your BLESS. Bless. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us. We are blessed in the person of Christ, and therefore we get to be a blessing to others around us. Give us joy. Increase our blessing. Increase our love. Increase our significance so that you may be glorified and that we make a difference in our lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.